listener production.
As much fun as using a fake name on your coffee order.
Skinny chai tea. Oksana.
That's me.
Peppermint mocha with a double shot for a Min Lee.
That's me.
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Interesting suggestion coming out of England, Alex Dyson, over the last couple of days, where a committee has put forward an idea to ban smoking, right? Or to get rid of smoking, to wipe out smoking, okay? Mm. So they're suggesting that the smoking age in England should rise by a year every year. This is according to theguardian.com. So essentially, this year, 18-year-olds, sure, you can buy a cigarette. Next year, you've got to be 19. Year after that, you've got to be 20 to buy cigarettes. Year after that, you've got to be 21. Soon there's going to be, you know, 45-year-old people waiting out the front of convenience stores.
Hold up. You look like a 42-year-old. Can I check some ID, please, mate?
Yeah, going up to like 65-year-old guys. Can you buy us a cigarette, please, mate?
Or a 60-year-old going up to an 80-year-old. Hey, mate, could you reckon you can buy me some darts?
So anyways, it's an interesting idea and, you know, it might very well work. It could really cut off, you know, it just stops a generation.
Well,
and there you have it.
A lot of things that the Brits did caught on for a while there, but a lot of the world moving away from it as well, and potentially could Australia, Matt O'Kine. I've been a bit interested in that. Few of the conversations hanging around our relationship with the UK. So we'll get into that in a moment. We've also got some very, very fun talk back, which we're going to be hearing from later on. And our good friend will be popping in, potential future president of this country, Mr. Ran T. Dog, will be joining us later to take on a few issues which have been bothering our listeners.
Better get some extra umbrellas up, just because we know he loves to spray it and not just say it. This is Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
This is just the start.
Everyone ready?
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
How old were you in 1999, Matt?
I was in year 9, and that's like my little math code, you know. I was in year 1 in 1991, and I was in year 9 in 1999.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So why do you ask? I can take you back to that. To that era, I mean, I was downloading my first MP3s.
Yeah,
right? I remember Limp Bizkit's Nookie was certainly one of the very first. I remember browsing the internet and hearing about this MP3 wave. I was like, oh my God, I can get songs whenever I want. I downloaded Winamp.
Yep.
And I started, you know, dodging viruses like Neo from The Matrix, my dude.
Did a virus come up and say, dodge this, and just absolutely blow your computer's brains out?
I tell you what, it did, and it was called the Wellcom virus. I believe I've talked about it before. I had to go to a classmate Jared's house and get him to link up his computer to swipe it from me.
Well, I only ask because it would have meant that you were a little bit too young to vote in the last referendum with Australia becoming a republic.
Australia
voted to remain under the rule of the monarchy of Great Britain.
I didn't understand that at the time, though. But, you know, I can imagine now that there's a lot of reasons why people would have, not even sentimental value. I mean, there would have been a lot of business reasons and blah.
Yeah, there's
blah,
all sorts blah, of blah, reasons blah, why blah, people blah, do blah. It. But it's interesting to hear about whispers that there could be another little refy.
Huh?
Like, it could be time to try again and maybe become a republic.
We're going to go all Harry and Meghan on them. Are we now? Okay.
Go Harry and Meghan on dat ass.
Exactly.
Dat ass being Queen Elizabeth's, of course. But it's interesting. It opens up so many possibilities because, sure, you're suddenly no longer a monarchy. Instead of a governor general, you've got like a president or something. The thing is, if Australia does become a republic, we're going to need a new flag. Which is quite exciting, Matt.
Bro, we've been having this conversation since I was in primary school. I remember designing a new flag as a kid.
Yeah, I remember doing that. That was fun.
Yeah.
What was your vexology? Is that what it's called? Flag design? There's like a subreddit about it all.
I went for the Aboriginal flag instead of the Union Jack, and then the Southern Cross, but instead of stars, little boomerangs.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's
I thought that was all right. I was pretty woke back then, bro. That's before I started going uber conservative, spending all night watching Sky News.
Yeah, and starting purchasing property and all that, just playing the game.
Can't afford to have new flags, man. I got interest rates.
Exactly
to
right.
To worry about.
Well, producer Ed, you've got a favourite new flag design.
Yeah, new flag bet came up in 2015 by Jeremy Matthews. It's a nice little green and gold vibe. One thing I don't like about the flag is the red, white and blue. Not very Australian.
We don't use it in our sporting things.
No.
I suppose that can happen. Like the Netherlands is just all orange for whatever reason. And we're green and gold and our flag's different. But that would sync up a little bit better.
Yeah. So here, I'll show you, Matt, through the screen here.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's simple. Mm. Does look a little bit like the Centrelink logo.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, it does kind of. Like, it's certainly the same colours. And I don't even want to make jokes about Centrelink. I made a joke about the Centrelink on the project about the new system they got put in. And, man, people got real angry at me. So I'm not trying to make fun of anyone who's on Centrelink.
Oh, Matt. You need to get back to your woke days. Yeah, again, you have changed.
I can't believe it. People got so mad. I was...
Well, the flag is another thing that had changed. The other thing we'd have to think about is the public holidays. I mean, that could be a great reason. Whenever we become a republic, that could be a new Australia Day, like just having a really great uniting day that could be around summer. We can all have a good celebrate there together. The other one is what would we do with the Queen's birthday?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about who we're going to have on the coins. And the first person I thought of was Corey Worthington. I don't know why.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought maybe some new public holiday suggestions if we do become a republic, and that is Worthington Wednesday, where Corey, just for the whole country, plans a party on a big Wednesday, just a midweek hump day party, and 25 million of us show up to it. How about that?
Start trashing the cars. The only people who couldn't party was the crew at ACA. They'd have to cover the story.
Yeah, the loud neighbours, exactly. The only suggestion there, it could be too difficult because it'd be back-to-back with Toadfish Tuesday, and that's where everyone pops on a curly mullet and honours our Lord and Saviour Toadfish from Neighbours.
R.I.P. to Neighbours saying goodbye last Friday. Oh, my gosh.
Dear, oh, dear. I was thinking as well, the Iders of March. Okay, this would obviously be in March, and it would be the day Ida Buttrose became the head of the ABC. We could commemorate that great Australian and that real moment in history when Ida stepped up to the public broadcaster.
It's been a bit quiet, hasn't it? I mean, has Ida...
Well, Ida, I think they recently sacked 58 archivists from the ABC and said that the journalists would do their own archiving. And I got to tell you, having worked at the ABC before, Matt, I don't know if that's going to be getting done. Can you imagine if... After we got off air at Triple J Breakfast, go, good work, boys. Just need you to get that show, edit it up, pop it in the archives for us.
I couldn't even update the blog because it was in HTML, remember?
Yeah, that was...
No, but do you also remember that they've lost the original footage of the moon landing?
Oh, no, seriously?
Yeah.
It's like
the original footage.
It's like when I taped over my family videos with Austin Powers 2, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Well, because they didn't do that. What about we could celebrate Midsummer? Okay, that's where we take all the mid-strength beer in Australia and throw it overboard from a replica of the Endeavour because we're not putting up with that weak as piss stuff.
I like mid-strength except for at football games,
mid-strength, not mid-prices, bloody MCG. Thank you very much. Keep giving us that full-strength price. Unbelievable. Or we could have, like, instead of Thanksgiving, we could have, like, Cheers Given or something like that.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's not bad.
And it'd be very similar to the American Thanksgiving, but instead of turkey, we'd all eat roast ibis around the kitchen table.
Does anyone eat it? Has anyone thought about eating it?
I don't know.
Can you eat ibis? And apologies for any vegans in here. I mean, on Reddit, someone said they're not a meaty bird. That's fair. That's a pretty fair call. They do look rather lean.
Yeah, well, look, if you've got a suggestion as to what public holiday we should have if we do become a republic, let us know, Matt.and.Alex.
Fit check.
Well, Alex Dyson, you know my dad is a dentist, currently retired now, but certainly spent most of his life.
Hung up the drill.
Between the, in between the enamel.
Yep.
And, scraping the tartar.
Did he get a memento when he retired? Did they give him a plaque or anything?
Well, I mean, that's actually why I wanted to bring this up. Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Lamau got him.
You know, because for about 2 years of my life, we had a dentist chair in our lounge room. And I've discussed
this with
you. Well,
that's terrifying.
Well, I just remember, like, when Dad brought it home, because he could, like, they were obviously giving it away or something from the clinic that he was working at. And so he just brought it in and we just had it in our lounge room for, like, literally a couple of years.
Yeah.
Until he, it was so heavy, dude. Like, and I thought it'd be really exciting to have, like, go up and down on when I was, like, young. But it kind of, you know, the novelty wore off. And he did treat my teeth on it a few times.
And did you have, like, just on the tray there to just sort of complete the aesthetic, did you have some just really big, weird sunnies just on the tray as well?
Well, I remember, like, I was like, man, this, like, eventually we're like, this needs to go. But it, for me and Dad to move it, it was so heavy that we could only, like, barely get it out the back door to the yard. And then I remember one day it was just gone. And I remember asking Dad, like, years later, because I was filming The Other Guy. And in one of the episodes, The Other Guy, the character has a dentist chair, you know, my dad's character has a dentist chair. And I was like, whatever happened to the dentist chair? And Dad goes, oh, it's just buried in the backyard. Like, so he just buried it. Yeah. I had no idea. I was like, what? Like, he just here. He's like, yeah, I just.
Well, he probably did it in the middle of the night, you know. Why would you know about that?
So anyways, that's the basis of episode 4 of season 2, if you're ever wondering where that storyline came from, when Daddy Mac decides to let go of the dentist chair. But I was at home again just on last weekend, and you know, it's those moments where you just forget that, like, these things aren't what are in normal people's houses.
Sure.
Like, my stepmom gave my daughter Sophia, like, she just had so many toothbrushes. She'd brought so many toothbrushes and so much toothpaste, and she was just, like, giving out toothbrushes. And I remember having all that stuff when I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always before and after pictures, like, around the house. Like,
of people's teeth?
Yeah. And like,
in
not,
your
like,
family
not, like,
or just?
No, just, like, you know, magazines. It'll be all these journals and stuff. And when I was at home on the weekend, there's this magazine just sitting on the kitchen table. You ever heard of Bite magazine? Look at this guy.
I have
he's
not.
He's just chilling out. He's obviously a dentist. And you know, there's just a magazine that's all
sounds
about,
like, is it like Marie Claire but for vampires? Like, what is Bite magazine?
Like, look at some of the stories. Okay, wake up call. How has the Great Resignation affected dentistry?
Right.
You know, model of virtue, qualities like compassion are what drives cosmetic dentist Mr. Dr. Michael Tam. So this is like just this is around. And I was like, man, this is just because my dad is a dentist, but everyone else must have parents whose jobs have just brought weird stuff home with them.
Absolutely right. Well, we did talk about some weird jobs yesterday, but it is interesting to see how did that affect the home life. So let's read out a couple of these. Awesomely Unprepared said, Dad is a doctor, so he receives free stuff from salespeople. The other day, I found on his desk a Viagra-branded calculator. So you'd push a button and the screen would slowly rise up.
Jimmy Mac, oh, how's God. This? Jimmy Mac says, Mum was a cop, so once found her work gun hidden behind the brown rice in the pantry.
Again, whoa. Not normal. Not a normal
get
home
the brown
environment.
Rice, will ya? Just the Glock. Uh-oh.
Sam says, preserved lizards and goats. I don't know what his parents did.
Yeah, you got to tell us, because Matthew also just put placenta. So I don't know what your parents were doing to have the placenta there.
Short, sharp, and to the point. Mim says a sourdough starter that you had to walk softly past, which is very, oi, don't run near the sourdough starter. Thank you very much. But we've also got Georgia on the line. G'day, Georgia.
Hey, how's it going?
So good, Georgia. Now, look, you experienced a few of the leftovers from the campaign trail.
Yeah, so basically my whole life my mum has worked for Julia Gillard.
Oh.
And just, you know, in, you know, the study in the house and in the garage and that, there's always just been like giant posters of Julia Gillard. And it's just, you know, it's normal to me to just see her chilling around and that.
Yeah, is it like Auntie Jules? Like how close are we talking here, Georgia?
Oh, yeah, like, I know her, like, kind of well, you know, all that, and yeah, so Mum still works for her and everything, they're pretty close, as close as you could get, I guess.
All right, and so did anyone ever just, like, stumble over them by chance?
Yeah, so the thing is, when I moved out of home a couple of years ago, I got mum's old car. So they're kind of at my house now. But, like, you know, I've been out shopping with friends and opened the boot to, like, put stuff in, and there's just Jules chilling, looking at you from the boot. Sorry.
Some random acts of Julia. Oh, well, that's incredible. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, Georgia.
Oh, good.
Thanks, mate. It would have been good when Julia Gillard came on All Day Breakfast. You would have got a bit of a dose of both worlds.
Yeah, definitely.
That was great.
Oh, brilliant. Look, it's good. It's nice to know as well that there's probably someone out there with Alex Dyson's head in their boot as well. So thank you very
much. Good old Greg from the campaign still got them all in his garage. All right, cheers, George.
Thanks.
We'll catch you later.
Thank you.
I smell toast. All Day Breakfast.
We now enter the part of the show where we begin the fairy tale of the big bad rat who huffs and he puffs and he blows your house of lies down with the truth.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we see how these shock jocks, they end up on front pages of newspapers, the sides of buses. They're sick of the censorship.
Yeah. People with tape over their mouths who host national programs devoted purely to what they have to say.
Yeah.
But so for too long, they've been silenced.
So we thought there's only one way to the top, and that is through the sewers, through the drain pipes, which is where our guest for today lurks with his wiry whiskers and his waggling tail. It is Rant Dog.
And there are many issues that plague our society. You know, some are very big and get front page attention. Others could be seemingly more trivial, but if they cause anyone harm, then Rant Dog is here to fix them with his yelling. And this week's issue, we've got a voice memo sent in by listener Bert, who's got a bit of a bone to pick with a particular swimming stroke.
Hey, Rant Dog, mate. Just wondering if you could let off a little steam about the swimming stroke, the butterfly. I've hated it for years. I hate it now. I even hate anyone who can do it. They're a terrible group in our society. They need to be told. Thank you, Rant Dog.
Oh, Bert. Bert. I'm happy to let off a little steam, mate. I'm happy to get so hot and steamy that I'll evaporate an entire 50 metres of the pool. Because for too long, these random swimming strokes have accumulated like streaming services, of which we've got a whole heap of things that we have no need for. Just choose whichever stroke you want, get from one end of the pool to the other, however the hell you want. Why do I need to be bringing my arms over the back and kicking my legs while they're together to get to the other end? Particularly one that's named after an animal that if it went into water, it would drown within 0.3 seconds. And that's what it looks like when you try and do it. Trying to get all that together, you just drown into the bottom. I don't know about you, Marikine.
Well, I mean, it only started because someone wanted to do breaststroke a bit faster. So they were doing breaststroke. They're like, oh, if I can put my arms out of the water, I'll get there quicker.
Well, breaststroke makes sense. They called a frog kick. Frogs kick in water. What the hell's a butterfly doing in a pond?
Just people who can't swim fast trying different ways to get there so that they can be the fastest. Like, no one goes, oh, sure, Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
Sure, you broke the world record, but can you do it backwards? Can you run the 100 hitting your knees on your palms as you run along?
It's all these losers who can't win in the other races. They have to come up with these technicalities that can get them on the podium. Well, I'm sick of it. Takes up 11 days in the Olympics. No! One end to the other. Get it over with. Enough! So anyway, Bert, I believe I just saved everyone a great deal of time and energy. And buddy's shoulder muscle.
And Bruce McAvaney is going to save a few, you know, bit of the voice box as well next Olympics.
Exactly right, which is more than I can be said for my voice box, which is cooked, but such is the cause that we need to do every time Rant Dog comes to the occasion. But look, thank you very much for joining us on today's program. An honour to be hanging out with you.
Yeah, we love hearing from you as well, so keep in touch at matt.n.alex on Instagram or hit us up, mattandalex.com.au on the website.
And sorry to the people who are great butterfly swimmers and want to stand at the podium under a brand new Australian flag at the Olympics.
Cody Simpson could be listening to us right now. Is he a butterflyer?
Emma McCune, Cody.
Could be listening. We don't know who our fans are.
I hope Cody doesn't take it personally. Rant Dog just tackles the issues affecting our listeners, you know. He doesn't go think about who could be hurt in the process. No, he's a protective daddy dog.
He doesn't care about who he's hurting.
Thank you very much for listening. We've got to get out of here, but we've got a big show for you tomorrow, so hopefully we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it. The all-day breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex. Listener.